Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And we coming from a basement to your headphones. Barely even know who we are, but changing the unknown. In a while, topping the charts.
Thank you for downloading the Podcastianos. Now here are your hosts, Jordan Hall and Eric Wayne.
In the background, feeling like I'm never gonna get without the sir, cause I'm chilling in the background, knowing that I'm gonna give it everything I got.
Welcome back to another episode of the Podcastianos. I'm Jordan Hall, and I'm joined, as always, by a man who's really good with a snow shovel. It's Eric Wayne. Eric, how's that driveway looking?
It is finally melted. I don't know how it is in Detroit. You know, we'll just have to switch this from a baseball podcast to a postponement podcast. You know, we'll just cover all the exciting parts of rain delays, stuff like that.
So you have no snow down there?
No, I mean, it's not on my driveway.
Okay.
But there's a smattering.
We have... conservatively, I would say that we have 14 inches of snow here.
What 14 inches?
We have gotten at least 14, if not more, since Saturday morning. It has stopped snowing in the last, what would that be, 72 hours. It is unreal. I snow blew my driveway at 2, and by the time my wife and I went out to get groceries at like 6:30, I easily could have done it again. It is crazy.
It's the middle of April.
Yes, it's kind of time to go ahead and move on to spring. But we'll see.
Do you have any other meteorological like updates from Traverse City? I mean, how is this affecting the cherry trees? I mean, how is this hitting tourist season? You know, I feel like I need a full weather breakdown here.
Well,
this is a weather podcast now.
As a well-adjusted citizen of Traverse City, I can tell you that there aren't any tourists in the area yet. They don't start coming until, well, most of them come like the last week of June, but we still have a while before any of them are up here. And cherry trees, I don't know. I'm not a farmer.
Traverse City is beautiful year round. I don't know why people just don't go all the time.
That is an entirely false statement. It is the worst for at least 5 months of the year. The worst.
Oh, just go to the asylum or whatever and, Great Wolf, go to Right Brain. I mean, there's a lot of...
Here's the thing about all of those things. Those are things that when you guys come up, you do. We as locals don't actually really do any of those things.
You don't go to – well, people have to go to Right Brain, don't they?
Yeah.
Or
yeah.
Two lads or however many lads there are there.
The breweries are a bit of a different story. All right. We're rambling. So look like it outside, the calendar actually says that it's April, which of course means that it is April in the D. Normally I would make some sort of crack about, you know, the Pistons and Red Wings not living up to their obligations, you know, as far as playing in April. But if we're being honest, the Tigers really haven't played too awfully much more than them at this point. I don't know if you saw this, but our good buddy Jeremy Lewis tweeted that something to the effect of that Mother Nature is currently giving us hashtag the D in April, which I thought was pretty funny.
Is that some kind of innuendo? Could you explain it to me? I mean...
I think you understand.
I really like.
Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
It is. How big are you on the concept of April and the D? Does that like bring back any nostalgia for you? Like how far back does that go? You're a lot
older
than I am.
It's been a few years since we've had April and the D, right? It's got to be 4 or 5 years ago.
No, more than that. They always have the April
since we've had a song.
okay, since we've had like an out and out, you know, song with those lyrics, but there's always like an April and the D song.
Yeah, just like a pop song.
Yeah, that one Jack White song that they keep playing this year, which is terrible, by the way. I feel like nobody's really had the guts to say that the song is trash. Like, it doesn't sound like Detroit at all.
Well, Jack White is good normally. He gets a mulligan.
Yeah, I mean, he made the soccer song, so I guess I'll give him a pass.
You're talking about Seven Nation Army.
Yes. I mean, he designed that with soccer fans and stadiums in mind, I'm pretty sure.
It is remarkable what catches on, and that is like the chant.
Yeah. So anyway, that brings us to this week's leadoff question. How should the April in the D song be handled, in your opinion?
Well, I liked the contest a lot. I mean, there was a lot to like about it. I mean, you had a contest, which was kind of fun. A lot of people got to participate. There was a local band. Some people got to be creative. But it wore on you for a few reasons. One, they repeated it over and over and over again. It was just too much exposure. And the chorus was always April in the D.
Of course.
Couldn't you expand it a little bit? Give people a little bit of freedom in their creation of the song. But I like the concept of, you know, giving the local band some love.
Part of the problem with using the local bands, though, is there's a reason they're local bands and not like big bands. And then you have to listen to a band that's not as talented play a song 172 times for a month.
Well, see, that's the hitch. Don't play it so much. Just give us a little bit of a here and there.
Yeah, a little bit goes a long way.
That's right. But no, I like the April and the D. And if you think about the words, April and the D, the tunes, the earworms come flooding into your skull. I mean, if you were there watching television at that time, they're ingrained in your scalp.
Yeah, specifically the Good Luck Joes. Never forget those guys. They will always be synonymous in my mind with
April.
I wonder what they went on to do. I wonder if they've won any Grammys.
They had a lot of good luck, I'm sure. Did you read my breakdown of the best April and the D songs? I tweeted it out. I think there's five April and the D songs. I ranked them and included clips in my thoughts. So.
Would it help our relationship if I said that I had read it?
No.
Okay.
Don't lie to me.
Then no, I have not read it.
I'll find it again, retweet it. I was very proud of it at the time.
I'm sure
it's probably trash now.
I'm sure it was witty. Witty as all get out.
Yeah.
Okay.
It rhymes with witty.
So I went. I kind of broke down what I want in this song. I feel like I want it to sound like Detroit, kind of a little gritty, but also a little on the funky side. Does that kind of make sense?
Sure.
And it also has to kind of sound like Fox Sports Detroit, which I love Fox Sports Detroit, but like it's not necessarily like a picture of innovation or creativity or even just being kind of with the modern times. Would you say that's accurate?
Yeah, very safe.
Yeah, there you go. So I think it has to be someone with Michigan roots. I feel like the ideal choice would be your buddy, Big Sean, doing something kind of funky and upbeat. But I don't know how representative of Fox Sports Detroit that would actually be. So I feel like the natural choice would be to get Kid Rock on the track. Something like upbeat,
yeah.
Has some of his twang. He has a history of singing about specific areas in Michigan during specific times of the year. I feel like that would be our natural choice.
Yeah, it probably is the best fit, but there's kind of a downside to that.
It being
and that
Kid
is
Rock.
Kid Rock is kind of a tool.
Yes. I feel like that's conservative when you're referring to Kid Rock.
Trying to be gentle, but yeah, he's kind of a tool.
If you want to get in touch with the show, you can on Twitter. I am at JordanHall23. Eric is at Comeric Eric, and the show is at Podcastianos. On the Instagram, I am at Jordinho4, and Eric is at Comeric Eric. Facebook.com/Podcastianos. And we would love it if you would take the time to subscribe, rate, and review us on iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud. or whatever other platform you're listening to the show on. That's very important. That's how we rocket up the charts and make our millions. If you do, leave us a review. Take a screenshot of it and tweet it at us. You know, make it funny, and we'll read it out on next week's show to show all of our appreciation to you.
I'm Blaine Hardy, and you're listening to the podcast, Giannos.
Eric, we really haven't had a choice of where to start this week's show other than on the weather.
We covered a lot of weather territory already, but this is baseball.
This is baseball weather. So buckle up. It's been absolutely miserable. Like the end of last week in Chicago, that was bad. There was some snow. I remember looking at Jose Abreu when he was in the box, thinking, this dude wants to be literally anywhere else. And I don't blame him. The boys obviously got some respite in Cleveland, but then again, just disgusting conditions Saturday and Sunday.
I feel kind of bad for some of these Latin American guys.
Absolutely.
Not because I mean, you're a native Traverse Cityan and are exposed nonstop to cold weather. But for guys who like grew up in, I don't know, Dominican Republic, and they train in Florida, I wonder how many days of the year they actually spend in someplace that's cold. And not just because of their you could say the same thing for somebody from Florida or Texas. I don't mean to pick on the Latin American guys, but if you don't have any like context or acclimation to the weather, I wonder if it affects you differently.
Yeah, and if you have the option to not have this context, why would you pick to have it? Like,
yeah, right.
I'm spending all winter in Florida or Texas or somewhere if I have that option. Yeah, no, it has to be a fact. I was actually looking, I think I read somewhere, and a good journalist might know a source here, but I believe that the batting average across baseball right now is 240. Just
yeah, it's flat. Poor.
That's, I mean, that has to affect them so bad. So
I will say the Tigers have done a pretty good job of canceling their games on time, which, you know, getting back to my beef of a week or two ago, they have done a nice job with that, which is appreciated. You're not getting everybody down there.
Now, do you think that there's any correlation between those two?
Absolutely. Yeah. They listen. I've informed them. I've beefed, and now they have responded to my beef.
Yeah. You hold a lot of power. That's for sure.
It's true.
Go ahead.
Although the weather has been much more clear. Like, it's clearly lousy. There wasn't a lot of touch-and-go opportunities. It's like, this stinks.
Yeah, definitely. It actually – I feel like it played to our advantage on Saturday and Sunday, kind of stemmed the tide of that four-game losing streak.
So, like a timeout, you know, that 20-second timeout in basketball.
I feel like it's not the worst thing for this young team. Like, clearly results aren't the most important thing, but it's easy to let three or four bad games turn into five or six, seven or eight, and then all of a sudden we're trying to figure out where did all the talent go? Like, why is everyone's head in the tank? You know, we'll take a couple days off, and, you know, guys like Candelario, who had a kind of a rough week last week, give them a chance to reset. And I think for the team being so young, I think that's a good thing.
Sure. Just recalibrate, restart.
I feel like this, there, you know, it always brings out the, you know, the type of ideas like, oh, we should only schedule games in warm weather locations and domes for the first couple weeks of the season. Where do you come down on that?
Yeah, so interesting baseball game last night. Two Texas teams are playing each other, and few people were grumbling, like, why are these two beautiful weather cities playing each other? Shouldn't they be hosting Midwest teams? And I kind of agree. I get the schedule is complicated, but we have like fancy computers now, don't we? Couldn't we mix in a heavier ratio of Southern hosting cities early in the schedule?
Yeah, you would certainly think so.
Do you think it's possible?
And obviously it would give some of the teams, you know, the ability to kind of get out to a quick start, but you also cancel that out by, you know, they're going to come at some point a chance that there aren't going to be playing as many games at home, and the, you know, Midwest teams will catch up, maybe have more home games down the stretch or something. Like, I don't generally think that that's a problem. The thing is like, you can't have your home opener May 1. Like, there has to be some sort of give and take.
Right.
And the weather now, like, you would assume by the middle of April, you're safe.
Yeah,
this is obviously a freak occurrence, but...
But if you could make sure the first homestand of every year is in a warm weather or domed or covered place, that to me seems possible. That buys you an extra week.
Yeah, week.
That doesn't seem too harsh.
So obviously hindsight is always 20/20, but do you think Comerica Park should have been built with a retractable roof?
I think it's a fair question to ask. Like, Comerica Park is not that old. And Milwaukee got a covered stadium, Miller Field. Have you been to Miller Field?
I have. It's beautiful. Yep.
Yeah, so tell me about that experience. I mean, does it detract a lot from the park that it's covered or retractable?
I've been there twice, and I've seen it both ways. With it closed, it's a very I want to say stuffy, but it's a very sterile environment, okay. I would say. Okay. But with it open, it's an incredible experience. Like,
does it feel like a cave? Because a lot of people said, "Oh yeah, you don't want to build enclosed because it feels like you're in a cavern."
I wouldn't necessarily say that. And I've been out to Safeco, and that didn't necessarily feel. It actually closed mid game, and I didn't feel like that felt very cavernous. And the same thing with Minute Maid. I mean, I've never experienced it, you know, with or without, like, but they definitely seem to just be part of the furniture, if you will.
The only one I've been to was Bank One Ballpark, whatever the one in Arizona is called now. Are they still playing there?
I think it's Chase Ballpark now.
Chase, yeah. And I was fairly impressed with that, but I think it would depend a lot on the architecture, because a lot of what people like about Comerica Park is kind of that panoramic view of downtown, and you get to see out. I mean, if they could replicate that kind of experience with a retractable roof stadium, why wouldn't you?
Yeah, absolutely. And they're in Houston. Like, when you look out beyond left field, you see skyline. Like, there's these huge glass windows. And you definitely can maintain that while still giving yourself the ability to, you know, not play in 30-degree weather. Obviously, you know, it just depends on who you get to design it. So,
and I think there was so much nostalgia and so much soul dedicated to Tiger Stadium. Yes, I think they felt obligated to give some kind of faithful spirit, or not a true reconstruction, but kind of an homage in some ways. And I feel like they couldn't bring themselves to make a retractable roof. And the technology for retractable roofs probably wasn't as good then, because we were talking, what, 2000?
Yeah, that's a while back at this point.
Yeah, so, it was built 2000. So, like you say, hindsight's 20/20, but yeah, we just got to wait out some of the weather.
I'll text Chris Illich and have him get on building a new one. I think that's probably in the pipeline.
Just put a gigantic umbrella. I'm sure your mom's got some undergarments we could put over it.
Enough. So when the Tigers were actually on the field this past week, things didn't exactly go so well. We dropped all five games we played, and get this, we have now scored one run or fewer in six of our first 13 games.
Oh, where did all our run scoring go? That was bad.
I think it left with Kinsler and JD and Justin Upton.
So we scored six against the Yankees. Before that, we scored three against the Indians. We lost 3-9. Before that, we scored 1-1-0-1, and yeah, in those games.
That's not good. That is not good.
Yeah. You got to put up at least a two to give yourself a chance, right?
Yeah, and the thing is we've been good. Pitching, we've wasted a lot of good. I mean, not that that's anything new for us. That's a tale as old as time for the Tigers, but we've wasted so many good starting pitching performances. Obviously, the hitting's the problem. Martin and Castellanos both turned in pretty good weeks, but literally everyone else was bad over these past, you know, 7 days. Do you think it's safe to say that the Indians have our number again this year?
I don't know about have our number, but they're better. The Indians are good, and we are not good. Yeah. It became pretty clear to me.
Yeah, by a large margin. I will say, like, this is not to put them down, because obviously we're terrible too, but I don't think they're quite as good as last year's version of that team. There's a lot of mix and match pieces that, you know, Francona, I'm sure, will get the best out of, but they don't necessarily jump out and bite you on paper quite like they did last year. But
Did you see the Corey Kluber game?
Yes.
Kluber was just bushwhacking, just mowing us down without much regard for our souls.
He was also getting a lot of that outside corner. Oh. And you can't give somebody as good as Corey Kluber that outside corner. It's just going to be game over. And it was game over. But what I thought was interesting is that we made Josh Tomlin the following night look just as good as Corey Kluber. And I find that to be a little bit alarming.
That was bad.
It was bad.
Any good performances that stood out to you from our end of the thing? Our end of things.
Pitching, starting pitching wise, you know, other than Mike Fiers, pretty much everyone was average to, other than Zimmerman. We'll get to him here in a second. But offensively,
Liriano was good, right?
Liriano and Boyd were both excellent.
Yeah,
I'm starting to think that maybe I've always thought that Boyd is an overachiever, pitching kind of above his station, but he has enough guile to actually get it done. The stuff
that's what the scouting reports all about.
I feel like the stuff is slowly starting to kind of play up a little bit. Obviously, he's still getting more out of his ability than is actually there, but you know he doesn't have bad stuff either. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I've been cautious on Boyd, but I'm actually starting to buy into the. You know, maybe Matt Boyd is a number three type guy, at least in our rotation for the meantime.
For sure. Yeah. He's shown you everything that you want to see now.
Yeah. So Candelario had a bit of an interesting week. He had that three double game. He also hit his first homer, but hit 200 on the week, 4 of 20 with 9 strikeouts with some iffy defense at third base. It's growing pains. Like there's no way
I think so
to avoid that. But I don't know. He's one of the guys that he has such a strong command of the strike zone that you look at him, you know, despite the fact that he's borderline rookie, you know, as you know, you have to be one of the main pieces of this lineup. And he is just going to have some ups and downs this year.
Right. Would you like to hit him 8th or 9th in a better lineup? Yeah, you absolutely would. But you know what? We don't have a better lineup. So he's got a bad second. And you hope he can just leverage some of his pitch recognition skills, take a few of those walks, and hit for a little bit of power. You know, we saw that home run. He's got it in him, right? He's a big kid. He'll be able to hit just for some power. But there's going to be waves where there's going to be troughs where he's going to scuffle a little bit. And you might go for a week at a time. Having said that, you know, he did all right for himself.
Yeah,
there's nothing you can do.
He's too he has too much too strong of a plate approach for it to not eventually level out for him to hit for some average. You know, it's going to just like with Castellanos, it's going to take a while before the power really starts to show up. But
I think so.
I don't see any reason he can't hit, you know, end up hitting 260 this year. But like you say, I think it's going to fluctuate pretty wildly. And you know, it wouldn't be the worst thing in the world to see him move down a little bit, just to take a little bit of the pressure off him. But I don't foresee that happening, at least not until a real substantial struggle.
Or I mean, who is jumping up to claim that spot?
I mean, Dixon would be the choice, but there's also something to be said for having. I mean, I feel like I say this a lot, but there's something to be said for having a decent number nine hitter, and he's, you know, a well above average number nine hitter at this point.
Yeah. What else we got?
It was also a rough week for Jordan Zimmerman. In case you missed it, Jordan Zimmerman was smacked in the face by a comebacker from Jason Kipnis. Did you see it live?
I did not see it live. I watched the replay, and hit him pretty much in the jaw.
Yeah, that was scary. Like, you know, on first look, you don't necessarily you knew he got decked in the head, but you couldn't really tell where it was. You know, a couple inches further north, and that could have been a serious problem. It's crazy because. Like they talked about on the broadcast, you could tell that stadium was just dead silent. Like instantly people go from having, you know, a great time just chilling at the ballpark to, oh man, that dude might be rocked. In some serious pain. Yeah. I don't know. It's one of those perspective shifters.
He's not going to miss a start. Is he?
Not that I know of, which I think is just so funny. He's a dude from Wisconsin. He's you know, he's not going to wear sleeves going out there, and he's not going to let a little bruise on his face keep him from making the start.
Jeez, that's tough, dude.
Yeah.
I mean, you get cracked in the jaw like that. It's pretty amazing.
I feel like, you know, there's been a lot of guys who have had some – I feel like I remember Brandon McCarthy maybe having some mental issues with going back out after getting hit in the head on the comebacker.
Yeah.
But it doesn't seem to be a problem for Zim.
Yeah. Well, we kind of talked about that with Jacoby Jones. Is that still in the back of his head from him getting – I mean, different situation, but
– Yeah.
Same kind of principle.
Yeah.
So Zimmerman got rocked in the last – podcast we had, we wrung our hands about the situation with Daniel Norris, and we said, you know, you never know what kind of situation is going to come up, but keep him stretched out and on the team. And what do you know, who did we call upon?
Daniel Norris. Yeah, he essentially got a start. He floundered in said start, but
not so good.
But yeah, one good, one bad. I mean,
sure.
At this point in his career, I don't know that we can really expect much more. But
yeah,
I think we're gonna see. I think we're gonna see a lot. Not a lot more. Hopefully, not a lot more. But I mean, that's gonna be his role for the foreseeable future. I don't see any way that that we're gonna get him, you know, late innings. I mean, it's just gonna be kind of mop up one way or the other roles.
Wow,
so far.
He's a pretty good prospect traveler, a random long man, but
yeah.
But. I don't know. Is he still that prospect? Is he still something we all dream on? Has the luster worn off?
I think the luster has certainly worn off, but I wouldn't say. So here's the thing: like, he's not a prospect anymore. He's been up. He's thrown a lot of innings for us, but there's still something very raw and unrefined about him. There's still a lot more surface to scratch, way more than most guys by the time they're 25, 26. There's more to be seen from him. It's just a matter of. You know, and I feel like our natural inkling is to dream on that more that we have to see. But there haven't been a ton of indications that what we dream on actually is what's in there. It's just flashes. And, you know, sometimes when guys flash that, it comes to pass. Sometimes it doesn't.
Yep. Sometimes when guys flash that, it comes to pass. That's true.
Also a rough week for a favorite of the show, Mikey Matuk.
Ooh.
Poor guy.
He was unceremoniously dumped.
Yeah.
Shouldn't say dumped. Mm-hmm. He had an option left, so they sent him to AAA.
4 of 31 on the season, with just one extra base hit, 10 strikeouts to 3 walks.
Sometimes spring training does kind of indicate the trajectory. I was hoping for more from Mikey. I mean, this is a guy they were cutting promo videos for the end of last year, probably the beginning of this year. Like, he was supposed to be kind of a stalwart in our lineup. And I was surprised that they cut bait with him so fast.
See,
after all the good work he did.
I don't see it as cutting bait. I think if they didn't think highly of him, they would have kept him up and let him figure it out. I think that they think he can contribute something, so they're sending him down, letting him figure it out against lesser competition before things spiral too bad. That's kind of my take on the situation, where with the thought of that hopefully he can come back. Because it's not like there's somebody
down. You're such a positive guy.
It's not like there's somebody down there that's, you know, forced to promotion. You know, who's going to benefit playing time wise? It's going to be Jacoby and Nico. Like, clearly those aren't, well, in my opinion, clearly those aren't, you know, regular everyday corner outfield guys. I do think that it's a little bit of just trying to, it's damage control with Mikey. You don't want things to go too far because he is a guy that you can look at and see, you know what, maybe he is a helpful piece.
You're such a positive guy. That's so nice of you. But, I mean, it's pretty clear Jacoby's a better option right now.
Yeah, absolutely. And I don't necessarily think he's a great option right now, but he is obviously a better option.
I mean, soon it's going to be one of these times where we're going to call up one of these outfield prospects that we kept talking about, and that's Stewart or Gerbs. Gerbs has been playing pretty well.
I'd be kind of surprised if they didn't make a move ahead of tomorrow's game. I mean, they have an extra bullpen up with Chad Bell. I mean, there really isn't any need to do that, have him up after 3 days.
Convince me why I should be excited about Chad Bell.
There is no, I, you know this, I don't like Chad Bell.
They called him up. Everybody's just like, oh, poor. But if Chad Bell's family is listening, sorry. I'm sure he's a great human, but he's a little uninspiring.
Yeah, he pitched very well in his outing, but Chad Bell is what Chad Bell is. There's nothing left to see out there. He's a left-handed Miles J.
I couldn't tell you three things about Chad Bell. So
okay, so enough of the real baseball talk. Let's get back to the silliness. So last week on Friday, we saw the unveiling of the Tigers' long-awaited bullpen cart. The design was clearly a nod to Detroit's automotive past, but to the best of my knowledge, has yet to be used by a player. How did you feel about the design?
Do you see what they used it for? Like, none of the players refused to ride in it, so they used it to deliver the guy's jacket to the bullpen. They like put their jacket on there and brought it to the dugout.
I mean, the bat boy's got to be loving it.
Yeah, so I don't know. It's just a gimmick. It's completely useless.
Okay, so you're not super into this either.
No.
Okay.
No, I think it's ridiculous. It's just a vehicle to, so to speak, a vehicle to deliver advertising to people. Absolutely.
I feel like I'm usually the guy that's super into the gimmicky stuff, like, you know, the animals on the field or all nine for Romine or the food content that Ravel always posts. Like, but this one, it just doesn't do anything for me. It looks like a golf cart that somebody put flames on, like a flame bumper sticker. Like, I don't know. I think, honestly, it looks kind of cheesy.
I feel like it would be at home at your campground.
It definitely would. It would not be the cheesy. I mean, it wouldn't be the cheesiest golf cart we have in that place. But
yeah. Oh, heavens. No, I don't really get it. But they're trying to see this thing out. And it will be funny. It'll be interesting to see if any of the relievers crack and just like, okay, yeah, I'm going to take it out there. But I think there's pretty much uniformity that nobody's going to ride in this thing.
I bet Stumpf is the one that breaks the line.
We shall see. But no, I mean, it, like you say, it's a nod to automotive history, but it's a freaking souped up golf cart.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Thumbs down.
All right, let's move on to your beef of the week.
Beef of the week. Okay, so this week was a little bit crazy for me. I've had some meetings. And before I dump too much and beef too much, meetings can be good. You get that, you know, exchange of ideas. You feel kind of productive. You inspire each other. There's a camaraderie. There's a social aspect of it. When meetings are good, they can be okay. But when meetings are bad, they can be really bad. And so the thing with me about meetings is if you don't have like a clear purpose, you know, if you're just meeting kind of for the sake of meeting and you get kind of these long silences and everybody say, just like get on with it. Let's, you know, share our thoughts and then let's be done with the meeting and wrap it up. You just sometimes get round and round. Everybody kind of says, and then occasionally you'll get one person who goes off on a tangent, just talking about nothing. Like everybody in the meeting is talking and thinking about one thing. And then, you know, Jane over there is just going all nuts on, you know, something, some sideline thing. And you're like, can we bring it in? You're driving me nuts. And, you know, also in meetings, a lot of people will talk about ideas. Oh, here's an idea. Here's an idea. Okay, who wants to work on that? Who wants to do it? Nobody wants to do anything. We just want to talk. Talk, talk, talk. No, like, let's talk for 5 minutes and then do for the rest of the day and not meet about it anymore. So this has been your Dilbert flavored beef of the week for me. I feel like it's very, like, you know, stereotypical office stuff, but things are bad.
Was that cathartic? I feel like I've experienced your emotion.
Yeah. Have meetings be better. That's all I'm asking. Oh, that's the beef of the week.
All right. So obviously I haven't been able to do much running this week because we have 12 inches of snow. So instead I came up with another Who's That Tiger for you. Hopefully by next week there will be some melting so I can see some crap on the side of the road.
I do like this game.
Okay. First clue. For those of you who weren't with us last week, I have 7 clues as to naming the tiger pulled from his Wikipedia page. And Eric, after each clue, has a chance to guess which former tiger or current tiger or future tiger I'm talking about. All right, let's begin. This tiger was born November 29th, 1979 in Natchez, Mississippi.
1979. Okay, so they're about my age in Mississippi. Natchez, Mississippi. Okay. I can't tell you who it is.
He played 176 games for the Tigers over the course of 2 seasons.
Marcus Thames.
No. That's good to hear the name, though.
Okay.
You get 1 guess per clue.
Oh, sorry. Thank you.
He played with the Long Island Ducks and the Newark Bears after his last major league appearance.
Brett Cleveland.
No, but also good to hear the name. He was the opening day center fielder for the Nationals in 2007.
Nook Logan.
Nook Logan is correct.
Yeah! What did it take me, 4?
You get 4 points.
Feeling strong.
Yeah. Also, he was identified in the Mitchell Report as having received HGH from trainer Kurt Radomski. Was expected to compete for a starting center field spot in 2006, but was beaten out by Curtis Granderson. And the rest, as they say, is history. And was recognized as the fastest player in Major League Baseball that year in 2006.
Nook was legitimately fast.
Very fast.
We were very excited about Nook Logan and his speed.
Yeah.
That's the good part of Nook Logan. The bad part was that was most of what Nook Logan could do.
Yeah, Nook Logan didn't have much in the way of actual baseball ability.
Hitting. Hitting was, yeah.
To be fair to Nook, hitting is very difficult.
It is. The guys throwing the ball, they're throwing it pretty hard.
The idea is to not let them hit it. They're very good at it.
Seems cruel, really, when you think about it.
All right, let's move on to Twitter questions.
That was a good segment. I like that segment.
Should we keep it?
Maybe I'm just feeling proud and strong. I got it.
You should feel. That was a good one.
Nook, yeah.
Hello, this is Eric's mom, and you're listening to the Podcastianos.
All right.
Twitter questions. Yeah, sorry.
Twitter questions.
I interrupted your beautiful segue.
It was an awesome segue, and you cut right to the core of it.
I suck.
You're just limiting my – you're making us sound like Fox Sports Detroit. Unnecessary dig. I love Fox Sports Detroit. You all know that. Okay, the first one is from Zach McCurdy. This one's for you. For Eric, which disc golf course are you most looking forward to playing when the weather warms up?
Oh, I hope it warms up soon. There's a lot of them around here I like. Okay, it's a little bit drive away. It's like a destination. I'm eager to play Flip City. Flip City's up in Shelby, Michigan. It is so fun. It's got elevation. It's got unique holes. It has everything. My home course is Pawpaw in Holland. If you get a chance to go play Pawpaw, that's nice. Johnson Park in Grand Rapids is one I'm looking forward to getting back to. Actually, one that I really like, I feel is kind of people think is kind of old and outdated, but Riverside in Grand Rapids has made a big comeback. They made it for the Senior Masters last summer, and so they kind of redesigned it, made it a lot longer. It is long. You need to be able to throw a little bit. But Riverside Park is really nice now. You don't have any elevation changes, but the whole contours and the tree placement stuff make for some good, interesting holes. So Riverside, I'm eager to get back out there too. When it dries up a little bit. If it's too wet, Riverside is rough. If it's kind of wet, then you want to go play Johnson or Shore Acres in Saugatuck is good too. This has been your West Michigan Disc Golf Review by Eric. Thank you.
You should come up. We have disc golf up here. We can play.
You do. I forget the name of it, but there is a very highly rated, beautiful course somewhere up on.
I know Hickory, the side Hickory of Hills has one.
Hickory Hills.
Is that it?
I think so.
I've actually played that one once. I went with buddies who disc golf, and I was their, you know, tag along who did not. Let's just say that I have not gone back with them.
Oh man,
that's fine. Okay, next one comes from Robin Runyon at Atomic Pixie. She asks, "When will James McCann be an okay hitter?"
Well, you just got to stretch your definition of okay a little.
I agree.
You know, if you can't change the reality. Change what reality means to you.
See, here's the thing with McCann. I actually thought about this one a little bit. On a team where you are surrounding him with good hitters, it's okay to have I was going to say defensive-minded catcher who does nothing but hit for power when he hits. The problem with
is he
McCann,
league average?
As far as defensively?
Is he a league average catcher?
I would not say that, no.
I don't think he is either.
That's the thing, is you can have him, if he's really good defensively, if he's, you know, blocking well, if he's framing well, obviously he does throw well. You can have a defense-first catcher when you have six or seven other good bats in the lineup. We don't have that.
He cannot hit right-handed pitching. He is really strong against lefties. His power, he hits well lefties. Righties is tough for him.
I just don't see all that many left-handed pitchers, though.
Well, I know it's kind of a problem, but, you know, in a platoon situation, he'd be an overachiever. But now he's below league average.
Yeah.
Sorry, James.
Yeah. Next one, also from our buddy Jeremy Lewis. He tweets, "What popular thing or food item do you absolutely despise? For me, it's raisins and ranch dressing. To be clear, I mean separately. I never subject myself to such torture by combining the two." Fair.
Raisins are kind of bad. Something people like but I do not like is mustard. Even if I get a hot dog, I will not put mustard on. I do not like mustard.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't like tomatoes just in general.
I don't feel like that's too unusual.
That's good.
I mean, I like tomatoes, but I can empathize with people who do not like tomatoes.
I agree on mustard. The big one.
Maybe
I don't...
when you grow up, you'll like tomatoes. I feel like adults like tomatoes.
Maybe. We'll see. The big one that I don't like that a lot of people do is hazelnut. Hazelnut anything. I feel like we had this discussion last week. Hazelnut
yes.
is,
yeah, we
is
had.
Trash.
Hater.
Yeah, it's so bad.
Your opinions are bad.
As far as things that people like that I don't really like, American football. I think that'd be a big one. I watch, you know, 14 Michigan games a year. But other than that, I pretty much won't be caught dead watching an American football game.
For me, it's The Office.
Really?
Yeah, I just never got into it. Breaking Bad, never got into. Like some of these popular TV shows. Also, I do not like scary movies.
Yeah, I agree with that. Also, just movies in general. A lot of people like
because they're too
like
long.
The idea of movies. Can't stand them. They're too long. and I struggle to admit this, but I have a lot of hipster tendencies. If something is too awfully mainstream, there's probably a good chance that I don't like it.
Sure.
You know, I like the Blaine Hardy of things, if you know what I mean. All right.
We all do.
Let's move on. Dylan Davis asks us, with the Masters being this past weekend, this must have come in for last week's show, who is the Tiger that you want as your pro-am partner? That's a really good question. Ooh.
Yeah, Verlander's not around anymore. I feel like he was a good golfer.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Let's see. Who would be a good golfer on the team?
I could see McCann being a good golfer.
Yeah. Yeah.
I could see Stumpf being a good golfer. He definitely can drive the ball, that's for sure.
I don't know. Like, yeah, a lot of the golf guys, you know, have gone. Porcello was like a golfer, I feel like. You know, a lot of the starting pitchers, because they are on that 5-day rotation, they get a lot of golf in, I feel like.
Yeah, that's probably true. Probably Mike Fiers. But give me Blaine. I want to spend all day in a cart with Blaine. That would be a...
Who would?
That would be an experience. Blaine's the man. All right, let's move on. Where's the next one? We are struggling here.
Here we go.
Renee at Holback R asks us, I wore my Tigers cufflinks the day that Zimmerman was hit with the comebacker. Are they cursed now? Do I have to burn them? If not, when will it be safe to wear them again?
Okay, here's the thing. You wear your cufflinks, but you change the way that you wear them. So if you do the pinch, you know, like this, I'm demonstrating, do the pinch and put them through. If that's what got him hurt, you stop doing that. Or if you do the overlay, you know, the little overlay, then you can do them that way.
I love that. See? You just said the phrase, that's what got him hurt, or something like that.
Yeah, yeah. The manner in which you wore the cufflinks.
Yeah. So you did get him hurt. Don't make any mistakes about that. But you can still wear them, just as long as you wear them differently.
In a different manner, yeah.
That's what we've learned.
Safe.
Okay.
Yeah.
At Nicholas Haller asks us, how likely is it that Stumpf gets traded for some prospects in July?
Almost zero. I mean, Stumpf would have to be pretty darn good.
Stumpf has been pretty darn good. I mean,
yeah.
The thing is, him being a lefty is the only reason that that's in the conversation. If he was a right-handed hitter, he'd be kind of a dime a dozen, but he's not.
What kind of prospect are we going to get for Daniel Stumpf?
What kind of prospect would we have gotten for Justin Wilson, you know, going into the start of that year?
Justin Wilson is good.
Justin Wilson was as good, was no better for us than Stumpf was. It has been.
All right.
Stumpf hasn't given up a run yet. How much more do you want from him?
I did predict that he could lead the team in ERA, didn't I?
Sure.
Yeah, I did. Don't question. Don't hedge. I did.
If you say so.
Not a question.
Hookslide at Hookslide 23. Who just sent out a new podcast with Dan Hasty. If you guys haven't downloaded it, go listen to it. He asks, what's the best new menu item the Whitecaps are offering, and why is it the Big Wheel Burger? I'll leave this one up to you.
Man, I haven't fully reviewed all of them. Something fried.
Have you been to a Whitecaps game yet?
Dude, it's like 0 degrees.
Yeah, but it wasn't degrees. Like, there was a little bit of spring.
They had a number of them. I think one of their games, Emily tweeted out, there's like 950 people.
It's so brave. Cold.
Oh, man. It's just rough. I need to get a little bit warmer. My kids are actually eager kind of to go. So I'm eager to go, but I don't want to freeze.
Yeah, that's fair.
That's selfish of me.
Yeah, I'll get down there to see one with you here soon.
They do have cheap beer nights coming up, like on Thursdays. I feel like
that's our idea.
I know.
Man.
And hot, cheap other stuff too, but I'm mostly interested in the beer, to be honest with you.
What kind of ideas we hand to them? Nicholas Wisniewski asks us, who do you think has been most adversely affected by the terrible weather, and you can't say Johnny Gaine? It's almost like you knew that's where I would have gone.
I don't know, Zimmerman maybe. He was pretty adversely affected on the jaw. I don't know. People who are susceptible to cramps. Oh my gosh. Did you see the video with the Japanese guy, Kawasaki or whatever, about eating bananas and cramps? Oh, I laughed so hard. It was the funniest video ever.
I have not seen it, but you know I'm going to Google that as soon as.
I'll reset it. It's so good. Is it
Kawasaki? I think.
Is it Kawasaki? Dude is hilarious. It was so good. I don't know, guys who are all bundled up in that hooded,
I feel like Martin wears the most stuff, so I'm gonna go with him.
Oh yeah, Martin. Yeah, looks like a headscarf. You know, they got the whole snowmobile head thing going.
Our buddy Roger Martin asked us at Rodcast81, who also has a Tigers podcast. Should check it out. Is at Jordan Hall 23, which is me getting meaningful miles when he runs. And
is that like a runner question? I saw that question. I didn't really know what that meant.
I'm assuming it's just a reference to that we have a crap load of snow and how has running been going. No, I actually haven't been getting any miles in because of said crap load of snow. And who are you guys watching with no Tigers baseball?
Angels. If I have a little time, I'll put the Angels on because I want to watch Shohei Ohtani.
Yeah,
that's who I want.
I love watching baseball. Like I watched the Astros and Rangers on Sunday night.
I did too.
But I actually haven't been kind of binging elsewhere. We've actually been binging on Monk, the series with the OCD detective. That's very funny. I thought it was like a crime show. Turns out it's really actually just a like comedy show. That's funny.
And it's short enough for you to watch.
Yeah, definitely.
I've been watching some soccer.
Yeah, I watched some soccer this weekend too. Wish I hadn't.
You don't talk about it. We'll wait. We'll get to that.
Yeah, you guys had a very productive week. We had less of a productive week. Jeremy Troya, the better of the Troyas, asked, "What's your go-to weather delay activity? Seek out another game on cosplay, filling time in the Call Sam Studios with Johnny Kane and Simo. Help Jordan figure out how to become Johnny Kane's BFF." Heavy on the me and Johnny Kane in this week's questions.
That's mostly what this podcast is about. I do different things, like read a book.
Real? I don't believe that for a second.
I'm reading a couple different books right now. It takes me forever because I always am looking at my Twitter, like every chapter. But
if you're reading multiple books, are you really reading any books? It's kind of like if you have two quarterbacks, how many quarterbacks do you really have?
I know. Well, I'm reading, like, they're both nonfiction. I don't read fiction.
Nerd.
But one, yeah.
I'm just kidding. I don't read fiction either. Just nonfiction.
One is kind of serious and one is kind of more fun. So
that's fair. I don't know. I switched to Big Bang Theory on TBS. I don't know.
Come on. Do you really?
No. It's always on. I mean, that's just kind of a fallback. Typically do, I don't know, some kind of sitcom of some sort. So yeah, and just wait for it to come back on
Planet Earth 2.
Yeah,
so good.
On what's the,
I think I've talked
about it. Yeah, I love a little Attenborough in my life.
Let me tell you, the first episode of Planet Earth 2, if you can watch the segment with the sea iguanas and the racer snakes without like getting on the edge of your seat and losing your mind, you're not human. So good.
That's the one with all the snakes on the beach. Is that the one?
Yeah,
that one was nuts.
Where the little iguana runs and then that was several fire emojis. So good. New language.
David Nowacheski, I believe, tweets, "One question, West Brom at home, really?" Which is obviously a soccer reference to Man United. Here's the thing. Like, we don't have anything left to play for. I don't know. I would have had a hard time, you know, getting myself too up for that game, too.
Is it West Brom or West Ham that's, like, at the very bottom of the table?
West Brom. The team that beat us. Yeah.
The bottom sludge basement dwellers beat you.
It's kind of like, in a way, I was actually happy for them. They're one of those teams, like, I feel like there's a lot of those bottom teams that I like actively root against. I'm at least neutral towards West Brom. Like, if they could stay up, I wouldn't actually mind that. Preferably it would have been someone else giving them the points to do that, not us. But I don't know, what are you gonna do? Like,
I'm riding high off our victory over Arsenal. Arsenal scored the first game, first goal in that game, and I was like, I wasn't even super pissed because I'm like, we can still do this.
Yeah.
Like, we are getting enough chances and we're looking strong enough. And sure enough, 2-1, we came back. Newcastle's fun to watch again.
Yeah, all because of Big Jonjo.
Jonjo has been playing really well. He is just like, just kind of coasting around that middle, the midfield.
The midfield,
like
yeah.
The midline. Is that the thing about the middle of the line?
The
field?
Halfway line.
Yeah, and he's just, you know, just looking, and he's dropping just beautiful rainbows in there to Dwight Gale. You know, a Yosi.
What is going on with Dwight Gale's look? Dude needs to figure out the hair. I don't. Yeah.
Have you seen a Yosi's hair? They've slicked back, like crusted over.
Oh yeah, Yosi's a good looking man. So are we going to United and Liverpool at the Big House?
I don't know.
I feel like this is something we could talk about off air, but I'm gonna be there. So feel free to join me. I'm 100% there.
I'll only go if I can get some Liverpool gear to wear.
Such a douche. All right, last one comes from David Cook at David Cook 1959. If you're postponed, referring to the podcast, when will you do the doubleheader?
You know, we play through any conditions. Although, to be fair, we have a retractable roof podcast.
Yeah. Although to be more accurate, yeah, just a roof. My roof fortunately does not retract. I hope to keep it that way.
If weather interferes one of our podcasts, yes, we'll do a doubleheader, but it's looking pretty strong, like we'll be able to get it in.
Yeah. It'll be sometime in June. Yeah. If you want to get in touch with the show, you can on Twitter. I am at JordanHall23. Eric is at Comeric Eric, and the show is at Podcastianos. Instagram at Jordinho4 at Comeric Eric. Facebook.com/Podcastianos. And we would love it if you would take the time to subscribe, rate, and review us on iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, or whatever other platform you're listening to the show on. That's how we keep making the big bucks, and you want that. Do you have any other?
I feel like this.
Go ahead.
Final words. I feel like this episode has had more frivolous banter than most of our episodes. Sorry, friends.
It's because there was so many rainouts and we were terrible. I mean, there was nothing actual good baseball to talk about.
This was the rainout of podcast episodes. Let's be real.
Yeah, yeah. I might even throw that in the show title.
The rain out episode.
Yeah. Anything else to say before we get out of here for the week?
No, I just hope for some better weather. And it feels like forever ago we watched Tigers baseball. So I'm eager to have it back again.
Yeah, it does feel like forever. I mean, it's been since what, Friday?
Well, 2 days postponed and an off day. So 3 days off. Oh, aside from the All-Star break, when do you get 3 days off in a baseball season?
Yeah, everyone's healing up. They're feeling good, feeling spry. Going into next week.
We need some help.
Need some spryness. With that being said, we will catch you guys next week and eat 'em up, Tigers. Eat 'em up.
Goodbye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.